It's Holden Kushner. It's the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network. Fun show for you. We've got NCAA selections. I've got Greg Peterson from VSiN. He's going to break down the whole bracket with me, and I'll give you my favorite picks as well. Talk about Broncos free agency. We're going to get right into this today and talk about this Broncos free agency. Tremendous free agency run here by the Denver Broncos. A little combo platter of Sean Payton and some Walmart money. Now, let's face it, this has just completely been so different than what we've seen over recent years. Even last year, you know, the Randy Gregory signing, a guy that is often injured, who came here, didn't play in that many games, was okay when he played, but you're not seeing those type of signings anymore. These are shrewd signings. And I'm going to start with Samaje Perine because I love this deal. Nobody's talking about Samaje Perine. Oh, it's just he's a backup running back. This is a guy that can play on this team for years. He looked great. He's a great all-purpose back. All right, I say great. He's a very good all-purpose back. When Joe Mixon was out with the Bengals, he was remarkable, especially in fantasy football, but in real life too. And you know what? When everything's said and done, and Javonte comes back, and Javonte's looking good too, he could still be your third down back. Samaje Perine is just like a bowling ball. I don't know if you remember Michael Turner. Michael Turner was with the Chargers for just a little bit. He was with the Falcons. But, man, he's a bowling ball. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. It'll be Latavius. It'll be Perine. It'll be a rookie or two. And then we move on to the offensive line. And I love what we're doing here. Great run-blocking offensive line now. Ravens left guard Ben Powers, and he's going to replace Dalton Risner. So you can all be very excited about that. Then you got Niners right tackle Mike McGlinchey. And McGlinchey was considered to be one of the top offensive linemen in the whole market this year. And right tackle's just been an abyss for a decade. You all know that very well. So I think what they're going to do is go to this power running zone, this run zone blocking scheme on offense. And Powers and McGlinchey fit this to perfection. Cardinals defensive end Zach Allen, he's going to try to replace Draymond Jones. I like this signing too. He's cheaper. He has the same upside at a lower price. And Allen produced a career-high 5.5 sacks last season while playing for Vance Joseph. And of course, Vance Joseph is here now. Alex Singleton. Let's move on to the middle linebacker. Who comes back? Alex Singleton, 3-year deal. You know, last year, emerged as a starter, played in all 17 games. Staying healthy really does mean a lot in the NFL. He started 12 of them. He led the team in tackles last season, 163. Played special teams. Great deal bringing back our guy, Alex Singleton. Then they get their backup quarterback. No more Brett Rippon. No more Josh Johnson. No more. Jarrett Stidham's a legit backup quarterback that you feel fine starting a few games for you if Russell Wilson goes down. Last year, he was with the Raiders, started his career with the Patriots. He's an upgrade. He was 0-2 as a starter with the Raiders. He threw 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions after they benched Derek Carr. So I'm a fan of this. I'm a fan of legit every single one of these moves. Then they bring in a run-blocking tight end, Chris Manhurst from Jacksonville. He joins Greg Dulcich at tight end. Albert O on the way out. I mean, it just doesn't look like it's happening. And then we've got fullback Mike Burton. Don't know much about him, to be perfectly honest. Had to do a whole bunch of reading. And not much to say about him either. Comes back. He's playing for Sean Payton once again. He was there in New Orleans with him. So, again, these are just great, shrewd moves. And they're spending that Walmart money. And Sean Payton is putting his stamp on this team. Love to see it. Not doing the Front Range 4 today, by the way. The 4 biggest stories in the Front Range. Just not going to do it. We got other things to get to. And I do want to bring up this report, though, with Jerry Jeudy and the Broncos. This is from The Athletic. The Broncos asking for a first-round pick for Jerry Jeudy. And then Cortland Sutton's name has been on the trading block. And I don't understand at this point why a lot of these players just don't understand that it's a business. I know that you want to be treated like a human being. That's all of us want to be treated like a human being by our bosses. But it's football. That's just not the way things work. You are a commodity, and you get paid very handsomely for it. So Courtland Sutton upset about being on possibly the trading block. The report that Jerry Jeudy, they're asking for a first round pick. You're not getting a first round pick for Jerry Jeudy in all likelihood, but if you can get a first round pick and you're stuck with Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. And then you go draft yourself a wide receiver that's going to be cheaper in the market. That being said, I am a Jerry Jeudy guy. He sold me the second half of the season. Looked explosive. The hands looked better. So I don't think either one of these guys are getting moved. I don't think that any team is going to pay a first-round price on Jerry Jeudy. I also don't think that you're getting a second-rounder or even a third-rounder for Courtland Sutton. But at this point, with the contract that Sutton has, wouldn't be the worst idea. Wouldn't be the worst thing to move him for a third-rounder. Anything less than that, it's just not even worth it. Not at all. Okay, let's move on. We've got NCAA tournament to get to. I cannot wait. It's basically underway because the first four, but the big dance starting on Thursday. I got a Bet Rivers special for you that I like. This is kind of cool. Any 8 seed to make the Elite Eight plus 230. Any 8 seed. So there's Iowa. I actually think they get beat by Auburn in the first round. There's Arkansas, Illinois. Arkansas, and hey, I'm a Kansas grad. Arkansas is definitely talented enough to get by Illinois and give Kansas some problems because they're big. Kansas is not a big team this year. So you do that. That Arkansas team has a legit shot to get through to the Elite Eight. I really feel that way. Memphis, looking good lately. Purdue is a weak number one. They'd have to get by either Duke or Kentucky. That's possible. And then the other number eight, on the other side of the bracket, is Maryland taking on West Virginia. I think there's legitimately two shots to get one of these 8 seeds to the Elite Eight. Over 2.5 number one seeds to make the Final Four. So 3 number one seeds. Last time that happened was when Kansas won it all. Memphis was in it was Memphis, North Carolina, Kansas. Over 2.5 number one seeds to make the Final Four, plus 900. Houston could do it. Alabama, I'm not as sold on. Purdue, I'm definitely not sold on. Kansas might make it. I'm going to go with that first one. I like that first one a lot. Any number 8 seed to make the Elite Eight in the men's basketball tournament at plus 230. Yeah. Yeah. That's a sexy pick right there. All right, let's get into my picks for the NCAA tournament. Want to give you some news and notes here. And this is from the Action Network. The old quote-unquote fade the public. I did not know this. Teams with 60% or more of the bets on the spread are just hitting at 41.2% against the spread. So public teams, the public loses a ton of money here in March Madness. So go against the public. A $100 better would be down $2,800 if you followed the public here. Let me give you some games that I'll be targeting. I love this Creighton team, and we're going to start with Creighton as they're taking on NC State. So the breakdown for this game would go this way. Before we even break down Creighton, this was a trendy pick in the preseason. Let's take Creighton to get to the Final Four. Let's take Creighton to win it all. And they take on a North Carolina State team that I think is not only inferior, I'll go as far to say I think that they are really inferior to this Creighton team that they'll be taking on. The Blue Jays, Doug McDermott, total stud. Creighton should probably be a 4 seed. And they're not. They should be a 4 seed. But they're a 6 seed. And I look at Ryan Kalkbrenner, and Kalkbrenner can take a game over, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, big dude. They've got 5 guys on this team that average double figures. 5. That is a lot for a college basketball team. NC State, talented, underachieving team. I look at the Blue Jays, they're top 25 in adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency, and that means a lot. So give me Creighton in this game. I'll take them, you know, minus the 5. And the Blue Jays looking like a nice target for me to make a deep run in the tournament. And we'll talk more about this game with Greg Peterson from VSEN, because I'm sure he has a few thoughts on the Blue Jays as well. Next game to get into. Furman versus Virginia. Furman plus 5.5. Give me plus 5.5. You know the least profitable coach in the NCAA tournament since 2009 is? Cavs head coach Tony Bennett. 7-13 against the spread. No bueno. He's also a guy that had the number one seed, lost to a 16. With all that being said, his team bounced back, won the championship the year after. But the Cavs, low scoring team, we know that. Defense, half court offense, slow games. I think they're a good defensive team this year. They're not a great defensive team like they have been in the past. Now, Furman, I don't know what a Paladin is, but they are the Furman Paladins. It's the 4-seed Virginia, the 13-seed Furman Paladins. Adjusted offensive efficiency, they were good. Maybe 33rd in the nation. They've got four players averaging at least double digits. So they played a fast pace. They're not good defensively, but Virginia's not good offensively. And I think if the Paladins get going, can shoot the three well, and that's really what that's the magic. That's the magic for the upset. The underdog has to shoot the three well, and I think the Paladins can do that. By the way, this line has moved to Furman plus 6. 131.5 is the total. I think Furman's dangerous. I really do. Number one team in the country, 59% field goal percentage. They have one of the nation's highest three-point rates, 46.4%. Yeah, this is a team that I am very interested in, and I'm going to back Furman. This is going to be an official pick here. Furman plus 6 is the play. Let's move on. Miami and Drake. Here's another game. Boy, Drake just, the second that I looked at this game and I said, wow, Miami, you know, maybe overseeded just a little bit, although they made that run in the ACC tournament, ultimately losing to Duke in the ACC tournament. But Drake plus 2.5, now down to plus 2. So a lot of money coming in on Drake. That might not be good because we're fading the public, right? 146.5 is the total here. Hurricanes, great offensive team, top 15 in the nation. They've got great wings. They got great guards. And Isaiah Wong leads the team with 16 points per game. They're outside the top 100 in just about every defensive metric, though. Four of Miami's six losses have come on a single possession. So this game will probably be tight nonetheless. If you wanted to bet bands, like final score between 1 and 5 points, final score somewhere in there, I wouldn't hate that either. But on the other side, you've got Drake. And these dudes shoot the ball well. They shoot from the field. They shoot from the foul line. They have a low turnover margin. They're a great defensive rebounding team. This is just a really, really solid team that doesn't have the name recognition that some of the other squads have, of even Miami. So Drake is going to be a play for me. They make over 77% of their free throws. Both leading scorers shooting over 80% from the charity stripe. Close game. You want free throw shooting. Good free throw shooting. They got that. And the Bulldogs won at least 25 games at least each of the last 3 years. This will be their second tourney appearance in those 3 years. Give me Drake and the 2 points. Got it at 2.5. I don't think there's going to be late money coming in on Miami, so just take it there. And the last game that I wanted to get into was Northwestern against Boise State. So those of you watching Colorado State basketball or maybe some Mountain West basketball, you're familiar with Boise State. And if you're not familiar with Northwestern, well, let me just give you the lines first. Northwestern, 1.5-point favorites, 127.5 is the total. Yeah, that's a low total. There's a good reason for that. The Wildcats are just so good defensively. And their games are disgusting. They're really ugly to watch. They force turnovers on 22% of their opponent possessions. That's top 40 nationally. They got a plus 4.3 turnover margin, 10th in the nation. But offensively, they're a joke. They shoot 32% from three. Ugh. They are sub 50% from the field from 2 points, shooting just 47%. They're just going to beat you down. They're going to grind. They're going to grind. And then Boise State, they play a ton of defense. So again, 127.5, one of the lowest totals on the board here. You got Houston, Northern Kentucky at 121.5. This is going to be one of the two or three lowest totals because Boise State's all about defense. They hold opponents 30% shooting from beyond the arc. So you got the Wildcats that shoot 32% and a Boise State team holding you to 30%. This is going to be gross. These two teams are going to beat each other up. And I'm going to take the dog. Give me the points with Boise State plus 1.5. Just so you know, here's my final four. I got Texas and Kansas facing off. I got Purdue and Creighton facing off. Purdue, the trendy upset pick to get bounced. For the record, I don't feel great about Purdue, but I'll put them in there with Creighton. Yeah, I think Creighton makes a run too. Texas, Kansas, Purdue, Creighton. Let's get a Creighton-Kansas championship game and a Kansas championship for a second straight year in Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Greg Peterson, VSIN, talking some college hoops picks next on the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network. Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network continues with one of my favorite cappers in the game. Not only does he do baseball, he's really into college basketball. He's Greg Peterson. He's with VSIN. And hello, Greg Peterson. This is your time of year, buddy. You don't sleep. So, I mean, you might as well just talk about March Madness 24 hours a day.
Oh, it is absolutely amazing to have the bracket out. And just a little bit before we get started, do not forget about the NIT, CBI, the College Basketball Invitational. You're able to go down the list. These ancillary tournaments, you're able to make money in those as well. The games are a little bit less rambunctious, but that means that the bookmakers probably aren't spending as much time on those either. But, I mean, let's call it what it is. The NCAA tournament, it is amazing, and it's going to be a great one.
Pro tip, buddy. There you go. A little pro tip. You could bet on lesser tournaments. At least North Carolina thinks the NIT is so bad that they didn't want to go. But I digress. You've broken down every single game. So give me the game. Is there one or maybe two games that really stand out to you that are saying, I got to watch these. I got to watch these games.
I honestly think the Kennesaw State versus Xavier game is one worth watching. That's a 3-4 team matchup. And I mean, in terms of taking the money line, I'm not going to quite get there with Kennesaw State. But if you're looking to go for a 14 seed or lower, that I mean, hey, we've seen a 15 seed make the Sweet 16 each out of the last 2 years. That could be one worth taking note of. Xavier is atrocious with their defense. They've got no depth. And Kennesaw State is a great story. This team won one game during the 2019-20 season. Now here they are with 26 wins. Mr. Abdul Rahim has done an amazing job coaching up that program. They play well together. Xavier, I just have not been impressed with them. I recognize that they won the Big East, or they made the Big East title game, but at the same time as well, they very nearly lost to DePaul in that tournament as well, so they're not coming in necessarily the world's greatest form, so that's one that really stood out to me that I do want to watch. And then if you're taking a look at another one, Drake versus Miami. Miami doesn't play any defense. Drake, well-rounded team full of a bunch of veterans. Roman Penn has been around since like the 2018 season back when he was playing at Siena, and I felt like Drake should have been the 1-point favorite in that game. So those are the two that really stand out to me, a good old 5-12 and a 14-3.
Ooh, okay. Hey, we got some good games coming up here in Denver that I wanted to talk about specifically. Those games will be on Friday. So we've got Gonzaga. We get to see Gonzaga here against Grand Canyon. Now you look at it, you think, oh, blowout. And Gonzaga's let some teams stick around, but I'm impressed with them after taking out St. Mary. So can you give a little cap of Gonzaga, Grand Canyon, the 314?
Grand Canyon's actually your best over team in the country. They have played 25 of their games over the total. So, I mean, if you've been taking overs on Grand Canyon, you're making a lot of money right now, and they're going up against the Gonzaga team, which I recognize that they've done a better job on defense against St. Mary's, but they're outside the top 170 in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. So that's absolutely tremendous, and what I think is going to be key for Grand Canyon, can they provide any morsel of defense down low against your Jimmy? Because I do think that this might be a little bit of blowout city if they can't. I did make Gonzaga a 16-point favorite. As we record this, a lot of books have between 15 and 16, so we'll see how that line marinates within the next few days. But I do think that you're going to be in for some nice fireworks. Grand Canyon completely lit it up from three-point range in the WAC Conference Tournament. I thought that St. Vincent State was going to be a rambunctious, like, 13-14 seed. They took them out because they went 16 of 30 from three-point range. Will they stay hot from three? I'm sort of thinking that there's going to be a bit of regression, especially going to Denver where there's a bit of elevation. But if they're able to hit those threes, that should be a fun game.
157, that is a hearty total. Is there a higher total than that in the first round? Oh, my gosh.
No, but Missouri versus Utah State, I could see that getting steamed up. That's right around 154.5 to 155 as we record.
I mean, could you see this game hitting 160 with Gonzaga Grand Canyon, or is that going a little too far?
Could I see it? Oh, absolutely. I handicapped my total a little bit lower than that. I set mine at a 155, but if you told me that you've got Gonzaga getting to like 85 and winning like an 85-75 game, I would not be shocked at all.
Creighton, NC State. We got a Creighton team that I've had a lot of people talk about preseason saying, wow, they can make a run in the tournament. And now they've got an NC State team. So this game in Denver, talk to me. Can Creighton make a run, or does NC State stop them in game one?
I don't think that NC State stops them. NC State has just really fallen off with their defense and the ACC in general. I haven't necessarily been too impressed with the conference. And you just mentioned it, North Carolina. They're being all bougie and saying, oh, we're too good for the NIT. Where, well, that's exactly where you belong with the way that you played. So congratulations there. But with NC State, DJ Burns is relatively solid down low, but he has to go up against 7'1" Ryan Kalkbrenner. Kalkbrenner has been absolutely magnificent, and when I take a look at Creighton's numbers, I do have to put a little bit of an asterisk towards them because they were without Kalkbrenner for nearly a month, which is why their defensive metrics don't necessarily look the way that you would expect them to. So I do think that Creighton has a chance to be able to make a little bit of a run in the tournament. I just can't see taking NC State. I set Creighton as more of a 6.5-point favorite, so as we're recording this, I'm seeing a 5. I'm willing to lay that.
Hey, Greg, we've seen Houston and Alabama. I've watched a lot of Houston and Alabama. These are two of the top teams in the nation, 1 and 2, as a matter of fact. Any weaknesses that you see in Houston? Well, obviously, I mean, they have the Marcus Sasser injury. We'll see if he's 100%. Any weaknesses you see with Houston and Alabama that could catch up to them, or maybe matchups that would keep them out of the Final Four?
Alabama lives and dies by the three-point shot. If they're cold at any point from three-point range, that can really catch up with them. They're a top 20 team in the country in terms of percentage of their field goals that they take from three-point range. So they really do rely upon that. Now, with Alabama, they also do have great depth. They're able to go 8 or 9 deep. That is very beneficial for them, but I don't have them going to the Final Four because I do think that there's a team in Arizona that's going to be able to do a great job on the boards. Arizona's really improved with their defense as well. I do think that Alabama does get to the Elite Eight. I don't think that they're prone to any sort of a super-duper early upset to where you'd be like, oh my gosh, because like Arizona, a 2-seed knocking off a 1-seed, that's something that, I mean, it wouldn't be earth-shattering, especially with this season in the NCAA tournament, but I do think that that's the biggest weakness. Obviously, you mentioned it with Marcus Sasser, but even without Sasser in the fold, you know that Houston's going to go out there. They're going to play some absolutely tremendous defense, whereas Alabama, they were actually the number one team in three-point shooting defense on the road, but I do think that that needs a little bit of a caveat as well. The SEC might have been the worst three-point shooting conference outside the SWAC and all of college basketball, so that number I feel like is a little bit overinflated.
Yeah, and then Houston, I don't know what to think of Houston. Again, they've got a team that Kelvin Sampson's really put together. I don't know if they're the most talented team. It's a great system though. So,
and it's a heck of a coach too.
And he's a terrific coach. So we can see Houston in the Final Four, right?
Yep. I do have Houston in my Final Four. So I do agree with you. I do think that Houston, out of all the 4-1 seeds, they probably got one of the best draws as well, because there's not really that one team in Houston's region where it's like, oh, they're just absolutely wrecking shop or anything like that. So I do think that Houston honestly did get a relatively solid draw, because I know that they were talking about this on the telecast. The fact that Kansas, they are not going to be playing in that Midwest region as well. So that hurt them a little bit. Kansas had to head out west.
Yeah, it's my alma mater, Greg, and I'm not worried about it. This is the whole thing. People complain about the draw that they get, but this is the tournament. There's always upsets.
And Kansas, as we know, got a really good draw last year as well, for one. And two, I mean, you're still a one seed. I mean, let's call it what it is. We're not going to look back 10 years from now and be like, oh, they were the number three overall one seed or anything like that. If you're a one seed, you're a one seed.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason why teams are 8 and 9 seeds. So everybody's going to play, oh, Arkansas, 2 lottery picks. This would be the second round game. After they smashed
And no rebounding with Arkansas, by the way.
You see? This is my whole thing. Oh, it's such a tough draw. And then there's Illinois. You know, Arkansas-Illinois should be a great game, right?
Yeah. So I do agree with you.
Break that down a little bit for me because, again, Kansas fans freaking out about everything, but you're a number one seed, and there's a reason why these 8 and 9s are 8 and 9s.
Yep, I agree, and I think that Kansas gets by whoever goes into that game and is able to get the win, but I am going to be riding with Arkansas. What you do have with both of these teams as well, two teams that give up north of 14 points more per 100 possessions when they're away from home. Illinois has been great with their defense at home, not so much on the road. But Walton Arena has provided a nice home court advantage for Arkansas. On the road, not so much. Neither of these teams do a tremendous job on the glass. Jalen Wilson, regardless of what matchup he gets, he's going to be the best rebounder in that game. I think the biggest concern for Kansas is what is going to be the health of Kevin McCullough, because we saw him be rather hampered in that Big 12 tournament game, did not play in the final. That's the biggest question that I have with Kansas, not who they're playing in the 8-9 game, because I even think with a limited slash out Kevin McCullough, they get by either way.
Okay, my most fascinating game is Iona and UConn, because UConn, a lot of people had them going really deep at the beginning of the season, and then you've got Iona with Pitino, so he's back in there. It's a big spread. I'm seeing 9.5 as we sit here and record this on Bet Rivers. Iona have a chance to hang with UConn?
If Iona got pretty much any other draw, I would totally agree with you. I do think that UConn is starting to show that might that they had at the beginning of the year, though. I recognize that they lost that game to Marquette, but and they were as cold as ice from three, and they still nearly won that game. They got out of their top five scorers, 4 guys that give you north of 5 rebounds per game. Adama Sanogo is going to be such a hard matchup for someone like a Barrick Jean-Louis, Nelly Jr. Joseph, those guys down low. Iona does a good job of not turning the ball over, but this UConn team has so much size. They have so much strength. Andre Jackson is just a stat sheet stuffer for UConn. I do think that UConn, out of any team that is seeded outside of the top two, I think they're the best team in the field, 3 or below. So I do think that that was a rough draw that Iona got.
What are the biggest discrepancies between your line and what you're seeing in the book?
One of the biggest ones with Kennesaw State, I set them as an 8.5 point underdog. Right now I'm seeing them at double digits, so that was certainly a big one. I mentioned it with UConn. I did set them as a double-figure favorite, so I'm going to be willing to take a shot there. And when it comes down to it, I do think that you've got yourself a team in Drake that should be the overall favorite in this game against Miami, and then this one stands out to me as well. I've seen UNC Asheville, as we record, as right around about an 18 or so point underdog. I had to make this line 14 just because with UCLA, Adam Bona has been dealing with an injury. We know that Jalen Clark is going to be out for the remainder of the tournament. And if Bona comes back, you got to figure that he's not going to be 100% for this game as well. And they have to go up against 6'10" Drew Pember. If you haven't heard about Drew Pember, the guy began his career at Tennessee, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 2.5 assists, and he shoots nearly 40% from 3-point range for a UNC Asheville team that shoots in the top 15 overall from 3-point range. Their main kryptonite is turnovers, but at the same time, Jalen Clark, he was one of the best players at being able to generate steals in all of college basketball. So I'm going to be willing to take the points with UNC Asheville. I can't see another St. Peter's situation happening, but yeah, give me 18 with them.
Why is this Indiana-Kent State line only 4?
Kent State is one of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball. That is why. Now, with Indiana, I did set them as a 5-point favorite, so I'm willing to lay it just because Trace Jackson Davis is going to be able to manhandle Kent State down low. But this Kent State team is no joke. They do a great job of being able to generate turnovers. They've got a guy in Sincere Carey who's a fifth-year guy, began his career at Duquesne. He knows how to be able to run an offense. And with Indiana, you don't know if you're going to get anything at all out of Xavier Johnson in this tournament because he's been missing for so long. So that's a little bit of an ordeal. I understand where the bookmakers are coming from. I just think that in the end, if Kent State would have gotten a little bit of a better matchup, like against Virginia, I could see them being able to win that game outright against a guy like Trace Jackson Davis. I think that that makes it difficult.
Greg Peterson, who's in your Final Four? Who's in your championship? Who takes home the crown?
Well, we mentioned a few of these teams already, but I did advance Houston into my Final Four. They're really the only one seed that I've gotten in my Final Four. I've got them squaring off against UConn, and then we've got Arizona versus Kentucky with a national title game of Arizona versus Houston. Keep in mind that this national championship is going to be played in Houston, Texas, but I've got Arizona winning it all. Umar Ballo, Azul Sabellas, they're the only duo in the field that both average 8 rebounds per game apiece. I know that people like to poop all over Kirk Kreisa. He shouldn't have been playing in the NCAA tournament last season. I mean, that was not the Kirk Kreisa that we saw all season long this year. I know he brings that a little bit upon himself, but I do like this Arizona team in that they shoot the same percentage from three-point range away from them as they do at home. They're giving up fewer than 70 points per game in the last 14 games. They've been able to buckle down on the defensive side of things. 3 different guards that give you at least 10 points per game. You've just got depth upon depth, so I like Arizona to be able to win it all.
Tommy Lloyd is at 61 wins in his first 2 seasons, the most of any coach ever through 2 years. Kentucky was the one that surprised me. Everybody wanted Calipari fired. What makes you think Kentucky can make this run?
They're going to be able to win the battle down low in every single game. And Kasan Wallace, he's been able to do a good job in the backcourt. And now they're getting back C.J. Frederick as well, a good sharp shooter from his time at Iowa. And much of that as well is just the draw itself that you got in that region, because the one seed in that region is Purdue, which, I mean, with Purdue, they've got a lot of vulnerabilities, which with a bunch of freshmen players in the backcourt. I actually think they lose to Memphis in the round of 32. So that makes it wide in the heck open. Kansas State, who they probably will face in the round of 32, they're a bunch that they give up 19 more points per 100 possessions away from home. They don't have a lot of depth. And then you face off against the winner of Michigan State versus USC/Marquette, and Marquette doesn't have any rebounding either. So it's not necessarily the fact that I'm super high on Kentucky. I just think that they got a really good draw, and they're going up against a bunch of teams that don't do a great job on the glass.
Okay, so last thing for you. I know you did this on your pod. Approaching your bracket as opposed to betting, right? These are two totally different things. We're talking about prognosticating what happens way in the future. We're talking about not betting with spreads as opposed to betting with spreads. So what's the big difference here?
The big difference is you want to take some chances in order to win your bracket pool. And for your bracket pool itself, it's just all about trying to gauge what others are going to be able to do. Because when you're betting against the spread, you're betting your hard-earned dollars on every one of these games. And while you are still picking with regards to your bracket, at the same time, one loss in your bracket probably not going to cost you, especially if it's not like a Final Four team or anything like that. You whiff a Sweet 16 pick, you know what? Your bracket is able to overcome that. You whiff a Sweet 16 pick with your $100 bet, you're at $100. So that's the biggest difference with that. So, I mean, when it comes to a lot of my upset picks, a lot of them I'm going to be taking against this spread. I don't advise you to, if you see like some big giant differential on a 5-12 game, be like, oh, even though I think that Duke should be like a 10-point favorite against Oral Roberts, I'm going to advance Oral Roberts. That's not the way that you want to be going about it. But it's a team that where you think, you know what, I like them catching 5-6 points. I feel like this line should be more like 4. That's the sort of team that you want to advance on your bracket. Whereas you might be taking it with your normal bet, just taking the points, you take them in your bracket. That's sort of the way that I approach it.
All right, Greg, real quick, your Twitter handle, how they follow you on Twitter, because I know you're very active there, and then how can they catch you on the air?
At GUnit_81 on Twitter, and every single day, the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN. For those of you that are on Mountain Time, that is 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., except for Sunday. Sunday, it is 9 to midnight Mountain Time on VSiN. You're able to catch it on iHeartRadio. You're able to catch it on SportsVamp Radio, VSiN.com. I always tweet out the link at GUnit_81 on Twitter. And the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, that is up every single day, 1 a.m. Mountain Time. I break down all these games, give you guys exactly what I like.
All right, everybody, the G Unit giving you some bracket advice, some betting advice, and thanks so much for hopping on, Greg. Thanks to Melissa, Adam, and Terry behind the scenes. Make sure you follow me at Holden Radio, and thanks for checking out the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.